and welcome to Dakota Midday on this Tuesday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Carl Gerke, and we're going to spend the first part of our hour together today talking with friends of Coach Don Meyer. Don Meyer died on Sunday after a long battle with cancer. And joining me on the phone today is Brenda Dreyer. She is the former media relations director at Northern State University in Aberdeen and a close friend of Northern State University's men basketball coach Don Meyer and his family. Brenda, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
And Mike Hendrickson is host of Sports Max and Calling All Sports. He also joins us on the phone. Mike, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And U.S. Senator John Thune is also a close friend of Coach Meyer and his family. Senator, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be with you. Thanks, Kara.
Let's start first and just, I want to know what we don't know. What isn't out there being said right now about Coach Meyer? So I'll have each of you take just a minute to talk about things that most of us don't know about the coach. Senator Thune, you can go first.
Well, that's a good question, Karen. I think there, a lot of what's been written, and his life was a very public life, and so obviously there's a lot of information out there about Coach Meyer and his career, and I think the personal side of him is something that people who are around him and the family, people like Brenda, can speak a lot to. But I guess the thing that I've observed about him over the years is just the way in which he was, I've mentioned this and somebody I talked to about him the last few days, just how authentic he was. He really was authentic to the core. He was the kind of a guy, what you see is what you get. And, and I think that came across in his public demeanor, too, but he wasn't any different there than he was in real life. Sometimes you have people in public life who are different in their public appearance and their public demeanor than they are privately. And with Don, you just you knew you were getting the real deal all the time. He really was just kind of an authentic, original, to the core type individual. And I think that's probably a side of him that maybe some people don't see as much. They see the public side, but the private side was very consistent with that.
And how did you, Senator, come to know Coach Meyer?
Well, it's a small state, as you know, Karen, especially in sports. And as Mike Hendrickson, the voice of sports in South Dakota, can tell you, you run into a lot of people if you're out in that, if you're moving around in that environment very much. And anytime, there's a new coach in the area, even for that matter, sometimes players, you just have an opportunity. If you follow sports, you follow the game, to get acquainted. And one of the things about Coach Meyer is he was such a bigger-than-life personality. And when he came to South Dakota, he already had a tremendous reputation and a record of accomplishment behind him. And so I got acquainted with him just through, like everybody else, through basketball, and that built over the years, and had the opportunity to interact with him on a number of occasions, and just really grew to appreciate and respect him and what he stood for.
Okay. And Mike, how about you?
First of all, John, great to share a mic with you, and thank you for the kind words, too. I appreciate that. I've got something, Kara, that maybe people don't know, and that is just how good of a player Don Meyer was. Actually, in 1967, back then they had a couple of All-American teams, the big schools and then what they called the Little All-Americans. And people on the first team of that Little All-American team were guys like Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe and Phil Jackson, people, that are very familiar in the basketball world. Well, on the third team out of Colorado State was Don Meyer. So he could play as well as he could coach, and also his passion really was baseball. That he was 22-2 as a pitcher for Colorado State, and he spent some time in South Dakota playing in the Basin League, the old Basin League that they had in the summer in places like Mobridge and Winter and Rapid City and those types of places. So that's the thing. We know him as a coach, but back in the day, he was a heck of a player himself.
And an athlete. And how did you I mean, obviously, as a sports announcer, you come to know, but did you know him personally, too?
Yes, very much so. And that really grew. It's very, very similar to what John said. It is you start off by covering someone, but as those conversations grow, you certainly get to know them much better on a personal basis and spend a lot more time away from the microphone and away from the interview, chatting with the coach, than you do actually on camera or on the air. So it was just such an honor to get to know him, and my heart just aches for his family, and for people like Brenda who were so close, because he truly was just a servant leader, which is what he always talked about being.
And Brenda?
Well, thanks very much. It's quite an honor to be on the program with all of you folks. Coach would be laughing at me right now. there's some things that people probably aren't as well known about him is if he liked you, he always had a name for you, like he very rarely would call you by your real name. If you were one of his people, he had a nickname for you. And I was just looking at the list of some of the nicknames that I had written down over the years of things he'd called different people. And that just kind of explains his just great sense of humor. And one of probably his favorite places to always hang out at Northern was downstairs in the print shop with, I think, Senator Thune. You had a meeting with him once there. With Jim Rappe, who was our director of our print shop, and Harry Jindzinski, a former business dean. They would get together and visit, and it wasn't a conversation usually that any HR director would want to walk in on. It was fun. They all just were, Coach just really enjoyed just visiting, just common. He wasn't crazy about the celebrity. He wanted to visit and just connect and have a good laugh with people.
So I want to know, Brenda, did you have a nickname from the coach?
Did I have a nickname?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I did.
And it was?
My nickname was Beast. like a monster, Beast. He said the reason I had that name was because when someone gave me a project or something, I was just a beast until it got done.
So that's a compliment then.
Well, the gentleman also on the program had names, but I can't share them on this.
Yeah. Mike and I are real nervous hearing Frank talk about this.
Some of them weren't for public use, is that right?
Exactly.
Well, take us back to the day, to the game where he broke the record, becoming the winningest coach in college basketball. I'm told that it really didn't matter to him that he set that record.
He was ready to get it over with. And, he was happy that it was, it was a game. And he was, like I said, just ready to get that done, get that monkey off his back, and ready to move forward.
Mike, do you remember that game? Were you there?
I was not at that game. Unfortunately, I was covering another one that evening, but I do remember that I was maybe one of three media people in the entire state that wasn't at that game, which is exactly why I'm sure the coach was very, very glad to get that over with. And the thing that sometimes gets lost too is even, fame found him. He avoided fame for all intents and purposes, but fame found him with Buster Olney doing the E60 story on ESPN, and then eventually the book and all of those things that came along with it, his speaking engagements across the country. But even when he was talking to all of those folks and had this brand new audience, he never talked about him. I mean, that was the last thing that he ever wanted to talk about was him. He would much rather talk about you or what was going on in the world or the latest CD that he had come across with a song that he really liked or whatever the case may be. Coach wasn't real good at talking about himself and wasn't real comfortable, even though he knew that ended up being his role in life.
I've been looking at Twitter, and I'm seeing all kinds of tributes. Brenda, talk just a little bit about the outpouring of support for the coach and his family right now.
I don't know what the hell I will help. I don't know if I can talk about that. It's not a surprise.
He touched a lot of lives. Mike, I'm and Senator Thune, too, I'm looking also at a whole bunch of different quotes. Are they going to kind of be turned into Meyer-isms, perhaps, and taken out and used around the country?
Well, I think, you know, those quotes, in fact, I still use. He was emceeing an event once, and one of the jokes he used at that, I still use today. I don't well, I should attribute it, but he gave
me... It was an appropriate joke, right?
Yeah, well, and some of them not so much so, but no. But it was what's really interesting is, you know, even people that, you know, my daughter's cross-country coach in college, and my daughter ran for Belmont University. She ran track and cross-country, and when Don was in the hospital in Sioux Falls, they were up in South Dakota running a meet at SDSU, and this coach couldn't wait to get down and see Don. I mean, they had that much respect for him, and he wasn't, you know, and the basketball coach who I got well acquainted with at Belmont, a guy named Rick Bird, had just such high regard for Don, and they were big rivals, big competitors. They called it the Battle of the Boulevard, Lipscomb and Belmont. But, you know, you knew that this was a guy who, wherever he went, left a mark and made an impact, and always in a very positive way. You couldn't find anybody who, you know, one way or the other wasn't impacted. And I just remember even going to the when they did the event in Aberdeen at the Barnett Center where they honored him for breaking the record, being at that game and him letting me go in the locker room both before the game and at halftime and just hearing him communicate with his players. He had such a unique style, unique understanding of the game, could break things down in a way that few people could. And his bedside manner, the way in which he handled his athletes, was really unique. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, you listen to all these coaches that have learned from him. They learned fundamental, they learned techniques and coaching, but I think they also learned a lot about just to handle young athletes and to make them better people. And I think that was really what Don Singh was. Yes, it was about winning games and you know, records and all that sort of thing, but that wasn't what really motivated him. What really motivated him, I think, was taking young people, young men, and particularly in basketball, and just turning them into really solid citizens and giving them a better future.
During his care, after the wreck and after his different in and out hospital visits, you know, how he took that same passion towards the health providers where he worked with, you know, he would really get to know them. You know, he would talk about each nurse he had and, you know, about their kids and so-and-so about this nurse and so-and-so about that doc. And he would really, he really took an interest in that. And, you know, he would be analyzing different ways, you know, for them to save steps, you know, as they're taking care of him. And, you know, just those things I thought was interesting. And of course, one of his last big wishes, his last big project was the new Don and Carmen Meyer Center for Excellence in Aberdeen, the new cancer center. And as part of that, we're going to have walls where we have all the different Meyerisms, because in his handouts, I don't know, you know, everywhere he would go, we would kind of joke at it as getting coach bombed, because he would, you know, leave you several handouts or several books. And that was just, I mean, we met it in the most positive way, that we got all this information that he obviously thought we needed, and we did.
And was it his mission to keep learning the game, keep learning new techniques?
Yep, very much so. And then just how to translate that into life lessons and, you know, how you treat your family, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your coworkers. You know, and it's all, you know, he used the game of basketball to teach people about the game of life. And that's what he's done.
And was he demanding? as a coach?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, very much so.
He made the one of the quotes that I see is, I tell everyone that I have 25,000 assistant coaches, and if I want to know something, I just go to the grocery store.
Go ahead.
That is a classic Don Meyerism, as a matter of fact. But again, that's just that typical self, putting down himself first type of humor and attitude that he had. One of the things, Carrie, you were talking about the tributes from around the state. From around the country and the world, even for that matter. I have to give a really special recognition to the guys at the Aberdeen American News. John Papendick and Dave Vilhauer have done as good of a job covering not just the career, but also the passing and compiling those types of things. I think John had in his article 48, I believe, quotes from the coach. Those two have just done a tremendous job of covering every step of the way in Coach Don Meyer's life. And Aberdeen area, and consequently South Dakota, is really lucky to have those guys. And then to have somebody like Buster Olney put together an incredible tribute to him and that, ran nationally on ESPN. And the thing with Buster, he had the great analogy because, Don had the three rules. The three rules were, you're going to take notes, you are going to say please and thank you, and you're going to pick up trash. And essentially, all of those things seem so simple, but all of those things go so far towards improving your life in general. And the last one, Buster, of course, made the great analogy that the bottom line on that is, leave someplace better than you found it, whether that's a locker room or your personal life or where you work or whatever the case may be, improve it and make it better. And so to have those types of things chronicled really was just wonderful. I think that's been a real blessing for the town of Aberdeen, for Coach Meyer's family, and consequently for a lot of us that have been following this story.
We have just a few. Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay. And if you haven't checked out the website, CoachMeyerTribute.com, this is just a very, very nice piece of work that was put together by Northern State University and the Meyer family. And it's just a central location for many, many pictures and press articles. All of the tweet messages are on there. That's Coach Meyer Tribute, and that was put together by Northern State University and the Meyer family, and they just did an exceptional job.
And we just have a few minutes left in this segment to talk about the coach, and I'd like to hear your favorite memory that you're going to hold near and dear with you that I guess you're willing to share. So, Brenda, we'll have you go first.
Oh, boy. How he would just take such an interest in everything, and even when you didn't quite know if he was following along with you or you didn't quite know where he was at, he would come back at you with such a, I call it just such a nugget of really, just a really good thing.
Okay. Senator Thune?
Well, I remember after I lost my first Senate race getting a nice note from Don and Carmen and just how encouraging it was. And he always, have been a guy who's been through a lot of wins and losses, knew just what to say to kind of pick you up and get you going again. And I remember a couple times going to games with him. We went to Clark once, and he got there ahead of me. I was in Aberdeen, and he knew I'd seen him in Aberdeen, and we were going to sit together at this game. He had a couple of recruits in that game, and so it was a big game, packed house. So I came in kind of late. I went up and sat down on the bleachers beside him, and he was looking straight ahead at the game, never took his eyes off the game. And I was wearing this leather jacket that I a lot of times wear when I'm out in South Dakota, and particularly given the fact it was January, it was kind of cold. And without even looking up, he just looks at me and goes, "What'd you do, ride your motorcycle down here?" And then I remember going to an Augie Northern game, and I walk in, and this was after his accident, so he was in a wheelchair, and I saw him. The team was just coming out on the floor as I happened to be coming in. And, you know, it wasn't, hey, John, thanks for coming, or hey, John, you know, you're pulling for the Wolves. And I was like, don't you have something more important to do?
Senator, I have to share the story of when he saw you. It was when you were fighting to save Ellsworth, and he said to you, hey, I'm looking for some really, really big buildings with some great cement floor to hold basketball camps in. Do you know any place that's available in the western part of the state?
Yeah, he was. He was great. He was one of a kind.
And Mike?
Well, first of all, John, I had forgotten that you had actually lost. You would have made a heck of a coach. You remember the losses more than the wins sometimes, I think.
Yes, sir.
But my memory of him will be the last time that we had him on the air with us. It was April 2nd of this year, and we had been informed that, you know, we didn't know how much time we would have with the coach, how strong he would be. And he gave us one of the best performances on the radio that I've ever heard. 20 minutes of being a servant leader and promoting the cause that he was working for the cancer hospital in Aberdeen, and was his typical charming self, and just absolutely knocked it out of the park when we knew that, frankly, that was what he had to give, you know, that he had mustered up the courage and the strength and the stamina to go 20 minutes when, frankly, we would have been happy with five. That's what I'll remember about him.
I want to thank all three of you for taking the time today and sharing your memories of Coach Don Meyer with us. Brenda Dreyer, former media relations director at Northern State. Mike Hendrickson, host of Sports Max and Calling All Sports. And U.S. Senator John Thune, thanks so much for taking your time for being here today.
Thank you.
Mike?
And memorial services are scheduled for the coach on 3 o'clock Saturday at the Barnett Center in Aberdeen. And when we come back, it's the 25th anniversary of the movie Dances with Wolves, and we'll talk about the impact it has had on the state of South Dakota coming up next. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.